Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 197. And my guest on the show today is Alexandra from England, with a totally fascinating dream. They're always fascinating, but this one is super fascinating. And as you all know, if you've been listening to The Dream Show for a long time, I don't know anything about the dream until we hit that record button. So what you hear is Alexandra telling me the dream for the first time and us taking it from there. And along the way, we explore the dream, work out what it means and relate it to her life. And particularly in Alexandra's case, we're relating it to a situation that was about to occur the next day for her. And we look at how her dream actually helped her to find a way to move forward with that. So it's a fascinating dream. I know you'll love it. Just before we go in, a little reminder of the addresses. My website is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And from there, you can also get through to my other website, which is the Dream Academy. And the direct address for that is dream-academy-online.com. But you can just go to janeteresa.com and all roads also point to the Dream Academy. So at the website, you can listen to all 197 episodes of The Dream Show. You can also access hundreds of blog articles and lots of other free resources. Or you can go to the Dream Academy and do some online courses, or you can consult me, or you can buy my books or ebooks. There's just so much there. But enough of all of that. Oh, you can also connect on social media through Instagram or Facebook. But let's go straight to the really interesting part. Let's go to Alexandra's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Alexandra.
Hi.
How are you all the way in England?
It's really sunny here this morning. It's a lovely morning. I'm very happy to speak to you.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm happy to speak with you too. It's your morning, our evening. Isn't the world strange with all these time zones? Which I guess means that kind of when you're usually dreaming, I'm usually wide awake and working with dreams.
Yeah.
And when I'm dreaming, yeah, anyway, as usual, I have no idea what dream a guest brings on the show. So, Alexandra, it's over to you with your dream.
Okay. So I send my eldest son off to school. He has a disability, and I get ready for some kind of retro disco event in town. I walk in the opposite direction down to my cousin Joy's house in the village where I grew up, and I ask if she's coming too. Another girl answers the door. Joy is there too in the background. The girl is also dressed in a vintage outfit, green and slightly Irish looking. She says they're going to a clothes swap event instead. I'm wearing a skin-tight white spandex disco suit with flared trousers and a black diagonal stripe across the middle. I walk to town and the sun is low as I cross the motorway bridge. There are lots of people walking in their fancy gear. They're going to the party too. All the men seem like rockers. They have 1980s haircuts and I feel safe walking next to them. We get to the hotel where the event is. In the function room, it's busy. I go to the bar, and there are five women serving, all dressed in blue. My friend Kelly is one of them. A man's drink falls and gets spilled, and everyone thinks I knocked it off, so I should pay for it. But I've already realised I didn't bring my phone or my purse, and I'm totally unprepared. I suddenly remember that I sent my son to school without any food. And the disabled girl who lives over the road too. I should have given her food as well. I'm far from home and I can't get back. And I can't pay for the drink. And I can't ring for a taxi. I have to leave and get back to my child. So I go down to the lobby of the hotel. But through the glass door I see a huge crocodile. It appears to see me through the doors and it wants to get me. So I turn around and I go back upstairs. When I reach the landing I see the crocodile is now in the corner of the corridor and I must pass it. It looks smaller than when it was outside and I feel afraid to walk past, although the other people do so without attack. Somehow I get past and there's a small office along the corridor and some staff are working inside. I urgently tell them they must be careful because there's a crocodile on the landing. I leave the hotel and I'm outside and I take off the stupid disco suit. I must walk home and get back to my child. I walk past a derelict petrol station and next to it is the start of a path leading to the countryside. I'm going to walk this path home, and I know it's an ancient trackway, and I become aware that it's called the Pilgrim's Way. I realise that I'm only wearing a red knickers and bra set, which is not my usual colour. I see a group of men walking up the path towards me, and I feel nervous. I'm in my underwear. Will they approach me or attack me? I notice I have a red cardigan around my waist, and I pull it on and cover myself as best I can. They're just walkers, and to my surprise and relief, they don't bother me. I walk down the hill on the path until I come to a place where the land seems very old, and the earth is made up of rocks cracked into geometric shapes, something like the Giant's Causeway, but red in colour. There are streams running through the rocks, and I walk across the stones with my feet in the water. I see to my right, under the water, is a collection of white anthropomorphic shapes made of stone or bone, I'm not sure. They have very primitive black-painted marks on them, outlining the forms they represent, people and animals. They seem to be symbols that I need to understand. I pick one up, and it's hinged somehow, a bit like a jaw, and I hold it up to my mouth, and I open and close it as if it's talking. I take this one with me, and I carry on walking uphill on the Pilgrim's Way and see more of these little forms under the water on the way. And that's it.
I love it. I love it, Alexandra.
There's a lot in it, isn't
there? Oh, there is. Yes, I've filled up more than a page of writing. I had to sort of go around the side and put little arrows. And
yeah.
No, that's wonderful. And I love that kind of dream where a dream starts relatively normal. You know, it's relatively normal to dress up to the disco and go down the street, but relatively normal, and then get more surreal and symbolic and kind of emotional as the dream goes by. Just really beautiful. And that often happens, doesn't it, when the dream is really starting to go into more unconscious territory.
Mm. Yes, definitely. For me, that often happens.
Mm. So do most of your dreams go that way?
A lot of them. This dream actually sort of marked the first of several that were very intense in that way.
Yes, yeah. Oh, and how long ago was it, this one?
About a month. It was the 8th of September.
8th of September.
Yeah.
So as we explore it, we're going to be relating particularly to the one or two days before that. Yeah. Yes, that's great. There's some lovely recurring themes there. I'm sure that you would have noticed them, you know, or recurring colours. That at the beginning, you're in the skin-tight white with a black stripe across.
Yeah.
And then the and then the anthropomorphic rocks that you find are also white with black geometric shapes on them.
And then there's the ladies in blue at the bar.
Yes.
And my red undies.
Yes. So lots of colour here. Even though the bits that kind of stick out are the white and black.
Oh,
and
yes,
white.
Okay, yes. Yes. Sorry, I hadn't spotted that yet.
Mm, the connection between the two. So in the beginning, you're in the spandex white with the black stripe.
Yeah.
And then at the end, that theme comes around again, but it's all the beautiful rocks, the geometric. And when you talk, you know, because I know you've listened to the podcast show before, my approach is kind of jump all over the dream to begin with. But when you talk about the retro disco, and I guess in my mind's eye at the beginning, when you're talking about the spandex, I'm thinking 1980s. What kind of era were you thinking of retro?
It felt like I was going to like a 70s disco night.
70s.
You know, like Saturday Night Fever kind of thing.
Yes. Okay, that's great. So when you say the geometric shapes on the anthropomorphic rocks, that would fit with the kind of late 60s, early 70s?
No, they weren't really geometric. Sorry, the rocks were kind of geometric shaped in the ground, but the stones that I picked up, they were shaped kind of like little animals and people almost. They were natural forms, but onto the rocks had been painted like these sort of very primitive animals and people that kind of echoed the natural shape of the stone.
Yes, got it. Beautiful. So there's a sense at the end there of the rocks, as you say, something quite prehistoric, becoming almost becoming animated, even though the people and animal rocks, so something coming to life.
Yes,
that's beautiful. I just want to connect some themes before we go in. One of the other ones, of course, was that at one stage early in the dream, you're walking along the road, and there's all these men with the 1980s haircuts.
Yeah.
So we've got a shift in time there.
And
they were. And you felt safe with those men.
Yeah.
So you passed these men and you were walking along with them and you felt safe.
Yeah.
And then later on, you definitely didn't feel safe when there was a crocodile.
No.
And then later on, when you saw the other men coming towards you, you
Yeah.
didn't feel safe, but then it
No,
turned
I
out
felt
that you
very
were
nervous, yeah,
nervous,
because
yeah.
I was undressed, and I didn't know what they were going to do.
Yes. So there was that theme of different senses of where am I safe and where am I not safe and who am I passing by at the time. Yeah. And we've got a real animal, which was a real crocodile, and then we've got the emergent animals, the kind of little animals and people coming from the rocks as well. So we've got that sense going on. Beautiful. And I love this. I love the way that during the dream you actually do negotiate the crocodile. You know, at that at that point in a lot of people's dreams, when they wake up, my God, I'm dreaming about crocodile. Wake up, sweating. Yeah, you're like, no, I'm going to. First of all, I'm going to go back inside, and then I'm going to. Though actually, it's smaller than I thought, and then I get round it, and then I warn other people. So you actually deal with this crocodile energy and fear really well in the dream, don't you?
And actually, that was the second dream fairly recently that had a crocodile. In a previous dream, this sort of very large crocodile was sort of pushed out from an alleyway on wheels, like a sort of like a sort of fairground thing was pushed out of this alleyway. So that time it was really enormous and it came out of the shadows. And then in this dream, it was slightly different and it got smaller again and smaller again.
In the first dream, was it a real live crocodile, even though it was pushed out?
No,
And
it was
no.
like a sort of, like in a carnival or something on
Yes.
wheels.
Yeah. Okay. So in the first dream, although the crocodile was bigger, it wasn't as scary as the one that was real in this dream that was smaller.
No, that's true,
That's right. But there was a sense that as you negotiated this crocodile, it became smaller and smaller. When it was outside the door, it was like, oh, this is something I'm really scared of. But as it came in, which is when it's actually getting closer to you, which is the point you think you'd get more scared, it actually became smaller because you were kind of facing the fear more there. Taking so something on the outside that is scary for you, once you bring it inside yourself and begin to look at it, becomes less scary and you actually find a way around it. I was really, I know I'm still jumping around here because that's the way I love to do a dream, but I'm also quite attracted to this word landings, because you mentioned the word landing several times, and then at the end you're out on the land and you kept mentioning the word land. There's a sense of something about the crocodile coming into the building and being on the landing. Although it was closer, it was easier to deal with. There's a sense of grounding and landing going on here. So before we actually get to interpreting the dream, can I go through and ask you some questions? Okay. So the dream begins in a kind of everyday sense. You always take your son to school and your son is disabled. That's a thing from reality.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Okay. And then the next thing that happens is you're going to retro disco. Do you often go to retro discos?
No, but I do like 1970s music the most, and I do like dressing up. So it's not something I wouldn't enjoy. I would enjoy that.
You
It's
wouldn't.
not a costume I would normally wear. I'd usually choose something completely different. But
Why would you not normally choose that costume?
it's not the style I like. If I was going to go to a 70s event, I would probably choose sort of a big long flowery maxi dress. I
Ah, yes.
wouldn't choose a disco outfit.
Right, okay. So completely different.
Yeah, just the that's not my style,
Yeah.
but the event in name is something I probably would enjoy.
Okay, and it's interesting you're talking about enjoy, because the next stage in the dream is you go to Joy's house.
Yes, that's something she's just, Joy is my cousin, and I have noticed she started cropping up in my dreams recently, and it is her name
Ah,
that's
right.
the significant part.
So you've, in other words, you felt in your previous dreams that she's there to represent the sense of joy.
Yes,
Yes,
definitely.
okay. So for everyone listening in there, you know, our symbols are personal, and quite often we will take on a symbol, and if we do regularly interpret our dreams, as you do, Alexandra, we can then almost like shelf it away. Yes, you know, joy is a symbol for joy, and therefore we bring that symbol more into our dreams. So we can become aware of our own personal symbols, and it's really great that you've got that. Although when you do go to Joy's house and ask her if she's coming, there's someone else there as well, isn't there?
Yeah. She's in the background. You know, she's not talking. She's there. I can see her, but she's not talking, and she's not coming out with me.
She's not talking. When further on in the dream, you find that shape that looks like a jaw, and you move it like it's talking. So it's almost like there's going to be a theme here of bringing something that's in the background that hasn't been said into the foreground and animating it and getting it to talk.
Yes, that's true.
So this girl is Irish, or wearing green like Irish?
It's just her outfit, yeah. It's just kind of, I don't know, like kind of like Irish country dancing kind of outfit, this green fancy dress she's wearing.
So what would you, you know, you didn't get much of a sense of her in the dream, but from the little sense that you got, what would you say her personality was in the dream?
She was friendly. Yeah, she was friendly. She did seem to be... you know, she was definitely the voice of the house, though. You know, Joy wasn't coming to the door because this girl was doing the talking.
Right, she was doing the talking for her.
Yeah.
But she was friendly.
Yeah.
If she had an emotion, a main emotional feeling, what would it be?
I felt like she was kind of protective, maybe.
Protective.
You know, she was sort of like the door, you know, the doorkeeper.
The doorkeeper. Okay, that's lovely. And did she decide to come with you or not? I can't remember.
No, they were going to a clothes swapping event.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
So whereas you were up for the event and not wearing the style of clothing that you would actually wear in waking life, they were going to a clothes swapping event, so they kind of had maybe more of an opportunity to get the kind of clothes that they would like to wear than you did in the dream.
Yeah.
So there's almost like a conflict there. There's part of you is doing something you really want to do, but something's a little bit not quite your style about it. And this other aspect of the dream is that they might have an opportunity to actually get what you want, but you go separate directions. And the one that may have an opportunity to get what it wants does have a sense of joy in it, but there's also a protectiveness or a doorkeeper around it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Because you've then got that series where, you know, do I feel safe with these men, or do I feel unsafe here? Or, oh, and the crocodile was at the door too, wasn't it? So you've got a bit, bit of doorkeeping going on. So although Joy and the Irish green girl go in one direction, you still encounter all these doorkeeping and protective things before you get out in that beautiful wild place. Okay. So why is it that you like the 70s in particular? What do you...
I don't know. I was born in 76. Ever since I was really little, I was just really attracted to the music and the style and the fashion. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you what it is. It's just more interesting.
So, yeah.
The music's better.
The music's better. Oh, I kind of agree. Especially going into the 80s, hey. But so you're only four at the end of the 70s. And so so the 70s are, although you've got a lot of memories, they're kind of, it's kind of still retro when you go back to the 70s because you were only four when it finished. Okay. So without going into any detail, were those relatively happy years for you, your first 4 years in the 70s?
Yes, very.
Okay, that's great. So there may even be some sense that you associate the 70s with happy start to life and all of that.
Probably,
okay. And dancing and dressing up and all of that.
Yes, probably.
Okay, so we've got the opening of the dream where there's a sense of it may begin with dropping off your son at school because that's how your dreams always begin, or it may begin with that because you were trying to work out in the dream something either about the school and your son or about your parenting or something around that.
No, I think the school and my son is probably accurate.
Okay. Because the opening of a dream often states a theme that the rest of the dream goes on to explore. So we take from that that, and we'll work it out as we go, of course, that maybe the issues that the dream are, your dream is exploring around your son and the school, maybe issues around joy and style versus not my style versus protectiveness versus doorkeeper, and all of these aspects, which I think any parent can probably relate to with a child at school, and you may or may not have extra things to deal with because of his disabilities. I don't know there. Mm.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got that. So there's a sense of in the couple of days before the dream, you maybe had issues or were revisiting your thoughts and feelings about your son's experiences at school or your experiences because of your son at school.
The night I had this dream, that day there was, like the following day, there was going to be a big meeting at school. To do with my son,
okay,
which I think is probably not coincidental.
Okay, so you were already, your unconscious mind at least was onto it and wanted you to work out some of the conflicts and feelings around this. Okay, so part of your sense was, I hear it's 1970s retro, you know, I'd like to go back to the simplicity and joy and happiness of my childhood. However, I feel that although I want to go there, I'm not quite connecting with it, because although this is something that I would like to bring into my life, it's something's a little bit wrong. It's not my style. And there's something about joy and protective and doorkeeping that's kind of getting in the way of this, but we go on to explore this. And also because joy is in the background in the dream and somebody is not talking, there's a feeling of you're trying to hold back something that you would like to say, or there's a part of yourself that is trying to speak up that you don't connect with until you have this dream.
Yes, there was something I wanted to say in this meeting that I was sort of preparing myself for.
Okay, that's great. So that's the feeling in the dream, but you felt not, you were preparing yourself, but you weren't prepared in the right style, or you had to step out in a different kind of style.
it wasn't going to be easy for me.
Okay. Okay, so we continue with the dream, and the first thing you say is that you're actually really comfortable walking in the same direction as these rockers.
Yeah.
So although they had 1980s haircuts, they were rockers.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's my gang.
Okay, they're your gang.
Yeah.
So how would you describe them in terms of what's the energy that you relate to there?
They were probably, I wouldn't say they were about my age. I don't know whether I felt like I was younger. I think I felt like I was younger in the dream, actually, because they felt older than me. Though when I look at them in my mind, they probably were about my age. They were just, you know, they were all chatting and laughing and on their way out to have a good time.
Okay, that's wonderful. So they were along the lines that you wanted to be, the fun and the enjoyment. And you may have felt younger in your dream because you were doing the retro 70s thing, so you may have you weren't exactly four, but you may have been sort of going back to an earlier stage in your life where you felt super happy or whatever. Did you also notice that the word rock is in rockers? And we really go to the rocks at the end of the dream, so that may be the beginning of some kind of feeling of safety there.
And of course I was a child in the 80s, and they probably were sort of my age now, which was kind of the age my dad was, you know, and the men when I was a kid in the 80s, you know, they probably looked like the guys I remember when I was younger.
Did you feel safe with your dad?
Around those years, definitely.
So the dream is then going, I guess, and reminding you that not only were you very happy in the 70s, but you felt safe and comfortable and relatively happy in the 1980s as well. And there were some kind of rocks that you rely on from that kind of time and safety. But then we move from safety via a little bit to the crocodile, which didn't feel very safe. So what did we do there? We went to the hotel and it was really busy.
I was just going to mention, another reason why I picked this dream is like the hotel is like this recurring venue in my dreams. I've never been able to work out what the hotel is. Why I'm always going to the hotel. It's not the same hotel, but it's hotels, corridors in hotels.
Okay. And in general, are you usually stuck in the corridors or not being able to find your way from A to B? Or what's the sense of the corridors in the hotels usually?
It can be all sorts. Sometimes perhaps I can't find my room. I'm not sure which one is my room. Or I have to move from one room to another. I did work in a hotel once when I was younger. I can't say I spent an awful lot of time in the corridors. But the corridors just seem more memorable than the rooms. Maybe it's because, you know, rooms look different, you know, in different places. But there is a sort of look to a hotel corridor, isn't there?
Yes. How would you describe it, that look or that energy?
Sort of long, plain, you know, heavily carpeted, loads of doors going off into the distance.
Yes. Okay. And when, you know, because the hotels have been a recurring kind of theme, can you remember when they first started for you?
Several years. Certainly like, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years, maybe longer.
It's really interesting that there were five women behind the bar in this hotel, and you've just said these dreams have been going on for 5 or 6 years, maybe longer.
Yeah.
So if we go back 5 years, that is 2012. You don't necessarily need to say what it is, but was there a significant change in 2012 or 2011-12 if it's 5 to 6 years?
That would be when my son started school. My eldest son.
Yes. Is he the disabled one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it may or may not be that the hotel theme and particularly the corridors started coming up in your dream when he started school, which, given that this dream is about a meeting about your son the next day at school, is possibly where we're going here.
Okay.
So the sense of the corridors, which also happen in schools, of course, but also this sense of long, plain, lots of doors, lots of opportunities. Okay, so five women in the dream may or may not relate to 5 years as well. And they were all dressed in blue. What kind?
It wasn't like a uniform or anything. They all had different outfits on. Oh. It was like a real lovely, like a sort of cyan blue.
Oh, lovely. So what do you associate with cyan blue?
No, nothing in particular. I like it a lot.
What kind of energy?
No, nothing. It's a colour. You know, I don't wear a lot of it, but it's a colour I like to wear. I think it's a good colour for me. A colour I'd like more of.
Yeah, a colour I'd like more of, but I don't wear much.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's something that the five women may or may not represent. May represent the last 5 years, and may represent something I'd like to do more of or wear more of, and I don't. Something I'd like more of. Now they're in the bar and they're quite busy. They're busy working. Yeah. They're doing a good enough job in the
They are. Yeah.
And is Kelly amongst them, or she's with you?
Yes. No. She's one of them. She's working there.
Right, and what?
But she's very busy. She doesn't sit, you know, she doesn't have any time for me. Because she's working. So, which isn't like her, you know. She'd normally drop everything.
So her personality would be drop everything, and what else would her personality be usually?
She would help. Yeah, she's brilliant, helpful, kind, loving.
Ah, lovely. And she's also wearing cyan, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's a sense there in the dream of over the last 5 years, maybe there's a part of myself that I can tell from your voice is just like Kelly, would drop everything as loving, as brilliant, as beautiful and helpful, but sometimes gets so busy that she can't pay attention to you, you know, a part of yourself that can't always give you.
Yeah.
And
yes, I didn't even notice that when I was saying it.
But that she also carries a symbol of the cyan, that's something that you would like to have and that you can't, but almost like you're too busy to perhaps enjoy wearing it and being it.
Okay,
And then someone spills a drink, and you take on all the responsibility for it.
Yeah, everybody thinks I did it. You know, it drops to the floor and spills everywhere, and everyone thinks I did it. You know, and I need to replace this drink. I need to pay for it.
And so instead of saying no, I didn't spill it, you start to look for your phone or your purse, don't you?
Yeah. So I don't have anything.
Yeah. So you took on the responsibility instead of saying no.
Yes.
So there was a sense there of maybe because you're such a beautiful, helpful and loving person, you'll just pick up the tab, sort of not necessarily financially, but pick up, you know, do whatever it takes to help others and take on responsibility, even when it's not really your responsibility.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true, is it? Yeah, so it's sort of there in the dream.
Yeah.
But in the dream, you're not prepared. You say, well, I can't. The dream is almost like showing, well, I would normally drop everything and help everybody and do all these things and take responsibility. But here, for once, I can't even do that because I don't have my phone. I don't have my purse. Oh, my goodness. I've just remembered that I haven't given my son food. I've got to get home. So there's this whole sense of being unprepared. So there's a sense there in the middle of maybe I take on too much responsibility when it's not actually my responsibility to do something.
That's true.
Yeah, and this throws me into a panic of being unprepared as well. Like I should be prepared to take on responsibility for things I'm not responsible for.
Yeah, that's part of my nature. Mm. I hate being unprepared. I like to plan for everything. I don't feel comfortable if I'm, you know, out of that zone. I don't like that at all.
Yeah. So if we then sort of backtrack and there's this idea that the drink is spilt, if everyone and everything in a dream is part of yourself, is there a feeling there of, oh my goodness, something's spilt and I don't like this because I like to plan for everything and here's something that's just gone wrong?
Yes, that does make sense, yeah.
So then there's also a part of yourself that feels I should pay for this, I should sort out the spilt drink. You know, if something goes wrong in my life,
absolutely.
I have to pick it up and deal with it myself.
I think, you know, that's part of family life a bit, isn't it?
It is.
You know, mum kind of clears up everybody's mess.
It certainly is. And you'd much rather be wearing cyan and doing something that you'd like to do sometimes.
Going to the disco, yeah.
Yeah, going to the disco. But here, this part of the dream, no, you take on the full responsibility and try to get home. So there's a sense of not only have you not given your son food, which would actually never happen in waking life, but it's that sense of if we then go back, Alexandra, to that feeling that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the self, there's a feeling of maybe not nurturing myself. I'm not giving myself food here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not looking after myself. And and oops, there's a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, I think, you know, part of the meeting feels like that's the crocodile.
Hmm. Yes. And so is there a sense there with the fear of the meeting which you actually come to terms with in the dream?
Yeah.
Was there a sense of not being prepared for the meeting, or you would like to have been more prepared, or fear that what if something is spilt metaphorically at the meeting?
I think I tried to prepare the best I could, and that part of the meeting sort of would involve me having to... resolve some things, and there's probably that fear of, you know, what if I'm not going to be able to do that? What if I'm not, you know, I need to say these things that I don't want to say, you know, what if I can't, or what if the things I say I don't know aren't as helpful as I want them to be.
And so the crocodile represents all of that quite clearly.
Yes, I think so.
How do you associate obviously you bring it into the building, you bring it into yourself, it becomes a smaller fear. You're examining it in the dream, which is fantastic. And we know that because of the outcome of the dream is so magical and you get past it. But what do you associate at this time with the landing? Is there a sense of grounding there?
Yes, probably. The meeting was sort of part of, you know, I won't go into it, it was part of a bigger situation which did sort of knock me off my feet quite a lot. And there was a sort of process over several weeks where, you know, I really had to kind of try and come back to earth to be able try to be able to deal with this thing.
Yes.
And grounding actually was quite a big word for me in it. You know, I just thought of something else, actually. A friend of mine gave me this big stone that I would take with me in these meetings.
Yes.
Because it sort of gives me something to anchor myself to.
Brilliant.
In
brilliant.
My hand. that's the exact word that I feel like I take this rock with me to ground me.
Yes.
While I'm in there.
And to keep you safe, like the rockers in the
yeah.
dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely brilliant. Okay, so you've did that beautifully, Alexandra. So the fear, the crocodile, is landed and becomes, on the landing, becomes smaller and something you can cope with. So, you know, that part of in the dream, you're working that out. If I can just ground myself in the meeting and take the rock in with me and get the sense of grounding, I recover from that sense of having been knocked off my feet a few weeks before. And
there's this thing where, you know, I've just got to get past it, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I've just got to get past that crocodile. I've just got to get past this meeting or past
yes.
the situation.
That's right. And I love how you work that out in your dream. And then at the last minute, you just give a bit of a warning to the people working in a small office to be careful. So it's like there's a part of you that may or may not be represented by office work there, but just you lot be careful here. So I don't know whether it's a sense of a part of myself that might be more involved in the paperwork or the kind of bureaucratic side of things might still feel.
There was an element, you know, when you have a disabled child, you have a huge team of people who help you in all different roles. You know, they're involved in your life, and you know, I wonder whether perhaps they represent some of those people who were at the meeting.
Yes.
You know, some of those other staff that I want to talk to, and you know, and I tell them that, you know, some of them obviously you connect with more than others, and you might tell them what your worries are. You know, be careful, there's a crocodile.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and others you don't. But, you know, there certainly was. I was actually speaking with some of them quite a lot in the few days beforehand. You know, talking to them about the things that I was worried about.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I think that's them.
That works perfectly, and no doubt when you later went into the meeting, because of the new sense of grounding that you got in the dream and everything we've yet still to explore, you probably, in many ways, acted as an anchor for them or changed the ways in which they worked with you during the meeting.
Perhaps, yeah. Mm.
So we go from there in the dream, and you say, I've got to get this stupid out of this stupid disco outfit.
Yeah.
And you pass a derelict petrol station. What feeling did before it changed into the beautiful ancient track? What feeling did you get from the derelict petrol station?
It was just like a wasteland. It was like, you know, like you imagine, I don't know, in a sort of American road movie on this sort of dusty highway, there's a burnt out, you know, rusty old gas station. It was like that.
Yes. Do you feel that in preparation for this meeting, were you kind of acknowledging some sense of being burnt out or some feeling of something being wasted?
Yeah, definitely burnt out.
Because,
you know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, I can't get any fuel there, can I?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So if we backtrack slightly back in the pub or the hotel where you felt responsible for the spillage that wasn't yours too, there's that sense of I keep giving and giving and helping and helping and I'm not getting refueled here, I'm getting burnt out.
Yeah. Yes, exactly that.
But kind of noticing that in the dream, you know, actually clocking that in the dream, and probably because you do work with your dreams a lot, you're probably aware of the dream, kind of interpreting the dream as it goes along, even though you're not aware that you're dreaming. There is a sense of working with the dream.
No, sometimes I do. Sometimes even good. In the dream that started happening now, I think, this is a symbol. This
great.
Means
okay. I think you were onto it in the dream because you kind of get past the petrol station and that's where the ancient track starts. And then you're really getting down to the more ancient grounding there, aren't you?
Yeah. Also, I didn't mention this before, but like when I come out of the hotel, it's sunny and it's when I'm outside the petrol station, it's really hot sun. It's lovely.
Ah.
Whereas, you know, it felt like it was nighttime. at the party, and it was dark when the crocodile was outside the door as well.
Ah, so you move out of the darkness and the dream. They represent the unconscious as well, and what you're not. So, and then you come into the full light, into full consciousness, is what you're saying. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Great. So there's a sense in the dream that even though you've probably often known while you're awake that you're such a giver and you get drained and all of these things, there's a sense of a greater enlightenment in the dream of really reaching the full sun of consciousness. Oh my God, I really am a burnt out petrol station sometimes.
Yeah.
And I've got to do something about this. And what I do in the dream is I reach deeper. I go back down an ancient track, whether that's the ancient track in my life, you know, taking me back to my origins, or whether that's going much deeper in evolution or deeper in the spiritual sense. There's some sense of I'm reaching for a more ancient grounding here.
I feel like it's got several strands properly. I mean, you know, I live near a very ancient track, the Ridgeway. So, you know, that's kind of part of my, I don't know, what I feel like, you know, it's my local heritage. Mm. It's, you know, I actually found out afterwards that the Pilgrim's Way is a real ancient track. You know, perhaps I had heard it somewhere and unconsciously registered it.
But I
wasn't consciously aware of it. It runs from Winchester to Kent. And it's something similar to the Ridgeway.
So does it go through where you live?
No, it doesn't. No. It's not that far away. But it doesn't. It doesn't go through where I live.
But as you say,
that's just part of my area. These are ancient trackways.
Yes.
I do have a lot of dreams about these paths. They're not given names very often, but these sort of long country paths that I have to walk.
And do you always? How do you feel when you have to walk these long country paths in the general dreams?
It's often uphill. It's sort of dual, really. I like it. It's always purposeful, but it's not always easy.
Perfect pilgrim stuff, then.
Yeah.
In fact, you're probably walking your spiritual path, because isn't that what we all do, kind of meet the challenges? Yeah. But I love the sense, Alexandra, that you're somewhat doing it joyfully, even though it's really difficult and challenging for you.
Which
is really lovely. And doing it with a sense of purpose, you know, both metaphorically reaching for your ancient roots and also recognizing that in your area of England where you live, you feel very connected to the ancient pathways that do actually exist.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Mm.
But that said, you're walking along this ancient pathway. Oh, and just before we go there, it occurred to me that it's quite different from the long corridors in the hotels, and then you've got the long ancient pathways. There's kind of a bit of a motif there which has shifted and changed.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, this is open and beautiful.
But you're wearing your red knickers and bra and red cardigan.
Yeah.
So what does the colour red mean to you?
I don't know.
What kind of energy is
danger,
red?
Danger, racy.
Yeah, great, danger and racy. And a cardigan represents something that you would... Do you wear cardigans?
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
So you normally wear them for weather or for...
This is England, darling. We wear them all the time.
I have to say, I'm actually wearing having just come back from England, I'm actually wearing an English cardigan. I bought two English cardigans. I've come to England, I've got to buy two cardigans because you can't get them here in Australia. So I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, it's England. It gets cold, you have to put on your cardigan. There's a sense in the dream, of course, of being a bit exposed, wasn't it? I've really got a cardigan, and exposed in maybe a racy kind of dangerous way.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. It was like, I was walking through and I didn't even notice, and I only noticed like when the men were coming. I sort of suddenly caught myself, like, oh my God.
Right.
No,
yes.
I'm in my undies.
So you were quite comfortable until you saw the men.
Mm.
And although the men turned out to be fine, were you only nervous Were you only frightened of them because you realised you were wearing your undies, or would you have been only because of that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So there's a sense of, I'm on this pilgrim's way, I'm getting in touch with my ancient roots, I'm on an ancient track, it's difficult, but all this feels good, and yet when I really think about it, all of a sudden maybe I feel a little bit like I'm facing a few dangers, I'm feeling a bit vulnerable, I'm feeling a bit exposed here.
Yeah, I think, you know, that feels quite natural and a sort of a part of it, because in order to get on that track, you've got to expose all those parts of you.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't mind talking about stuff with my close friends and, you know, about dreams and, you know, the various ways that those parts of you can be revealed.
Yes.
That feels like, you know, it might not be comfortable, but that feels like a part of it.
Mm-hmm. So there's so what you're saying so beautifully there is there's a sense of, if I ground and I reconnect with my more ancient roots, I'm actually in a place and a space where I feel very comfortable usually, like looking at my dreams and exposing myself, my vulnerabilities, except when in some occasions where I suddenly think, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Yeah, it just occurred to me as well, you know, it's almost like, you know, I'm wearing that other outfit before, aren't I, which isn't me, and I have to take that off.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's no, you can't wear the clothes that aren't you anymore.
That's right.
You've got to take those off.
So how come...
You know, maybe then I feel really exposed for a bit, but...
Yeah. Beautifully
interpreted. The cardi is me. Yep. I do wear that. I'm quite happy wearing the cardi.
Happy wearing the cardi, but so are the red knickers and red bra apparently are the real you as well.
Maybe.
And you're not quite so comfortable with that.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that to have a little think about as well.
Mm.
So there's and obviously all of this, Alexandra, also, you know, feeding back into thinking about the meeting at school the next day and how much I do or don't feel comfortable with exposing my real self and everything.
Yes.
And all of that. But as the dream goes by, just as you got past the crocodile, in many senses you get past the men on this pilgrim's journey that you're on at this part of the dream. You come to terms with being okay. You put on your cardigan, which is something that you do love and is a part of you. It's the English part of you, so you're happy with that. And that's when, having got past that, you really get to this quite magical land of the old rocks.
Yeah.
Mm. The ancient, you can't get much more grounded and landed than rocks, really, can you?
No, and you know, where I live, it's quite a... Rocks are a big deal in Wiltshire.
With, like, Stonehenge-type stuff, you mean?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So rocks have that meaning and association for you too, really, going back to ancient times.
Yeah, they
and
do, yeah.
So if you think of... ancient rocks in the culture in Wiltshire, what do you largely associate them with?
Intelligent, you know, ancient intelligence, you know, spirituality, knowledge that we've forgotten, that we've lost, that you know, we're trying to uncover that again.
Brilliantly. Oh, look at that word, uncover.
Yeah.
So that's lovely. So that's kind of almost associated there again with the sense of, this is the real me, the red knickers and bra and the red cardigan. Mm. And I associate this with...
And the ground was red as well.
Oh, yes, that's right, it was. That's correct, yes. Yeah, so you're totally getting back in contact with that redness, with that ancient stone, with ancient intelligence, spiritual, getting back into contact with that ancient knowledge, as you just said. And this is what takes you through. In your dream, you decide this is what's going to take you through the school meeting.
It does.
But we have to add to that there was like a red giant causeway. Oh, cause. You may be representing a cause here too. Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I did. I felt like that. I was really fighting for a cause.
Great.
You know, I really, the things I had to say was something I really wanted to stick up for.
Fantastic.
It wasn't going to be easy.
Yes. But hopefully, and we'll check in with you later at the end of this about this, but hopefully it was easier because you had actually connected with that deep red rock giant causeway part of yourself in the dream.
Yes, and also in the dream, like the way the earth, you know, the earth was cracked into these sort of, you know, these geometric shaped blocks almost. And when I was walking across them, I was, you know, I wasn't stepping on the cracks. I was very careful to put one foot on each. Almost
yes.
Like they were stepping stones.
Yes, that's a lovely feeling. Did you do that when you were a child? Don't step on the cracks.
Yeah, don't step on a crack.
Yeah, I used to do that too.
Yeah.
So,
or you marry a rat.
Yeah. So there's that sense of really taking careful with how you're proceeding there.
Yeah.
And,
it was a real sort of one step at a time feeling.
Which you would have taken into the meeting as well, or at least your dreaming mind was saying, well, maybe one way to approach this is one step at a time, one giant step at a time, because it's a giant cause.
Yeah.
And I love the way that you then had some, although you've just described quite cracked and dry land, that you then crossed water, so there was a sense of...
Well, it was cracked and dry because it was so ancient, but the stream was running all in between and across the top.
Oh, I get it. I see it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So there was a sense of... fluidity and flow and emotion and sort of wetness, which is really lovely, and then a sense of animation at the end, you know, because although the rocks didn't actually animate into people and animals, they reminded you or looked like people and animals, and you tried to animate the jaw, you tried to get it to talk.
Yeah, I mean, they felt really important, and really, you know, they felt like there were messages or some sort of, they were like what you'd imagine to find, like in a cave, you know, a primitive cave or something, you know. And I felt like they were really, really special, and you know, like there was something that I should try to understand in some way.
And that is an ancient aspect of yourself as well as the ancient areas of the landscape. So it's your inner landscape getting in that close in contact with something that you wanted to actually be able to say or get in contact with, but you couldn't quite. Didn't quite know exactly what it was in the dream, but you were prepared to go there, actually trying to, using the your hand to try to get it to speak. So you were...
Yeah, I'm doing exactly that just now.
Yeah.
You know, it really felt like I was sort of practicing.
Practicing. So
you know, like, I don't know, kind of like sign language, or, you know, I was kind of holding it in front of my mouth and doing this talking.
So a real sense of trust, wasn't it, that like when I wake up in the morning, I'm just going to, even though I'm not sure what the words are going to be, I'm going to just draw on this thing and move my mouth, and I trust that it's going to come out all right. Just before I ask you how the meeting go, because my notes get a bit erratic there, was that the end of the dream?
almost, yeah. So I held it up to my mouth like it was talking, and that one I took with me. I put that one in the pocket of my cardi.
Oh, that's right.
And then I carried on walking uphill, and I could see more of those little things along the way, and that was the end. Yeah.
Oh, great, that's good. So you did exit the dream with that sense of, even though this may feel uphill, I'm grounded, and this is what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Yeah,
I know you can't give too many.
I had my stone with me.
You had your stone. You had your stone. Your friend gave you. I know you can't give us many personal details, but how did the meeting go the next day?
Okay. Yeah, it was okay. You know, I was able to say the things I wanted to say, and I, you know, I felt nervous but confident. You know, we had a. Yeah, it was a good, you know, a good team of people, and I felt supported, and it was okay.
So your cause was put forward and advanced in some way?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Things definitely moved on to the next step.
Oh, fantastic! That's great. And did you, when you reflect upon it, did you go through the meeting following your pre-prepared steps, or was there a sense of trust and opening your mouth and letting things just flow at one stage?
Probably a little bit of both, I would say. Yeah, probably a little bit of both, because, you know, you can never know how these things are going to go, you know. You make a list, I suppose, mentally of the things that you want to say, and the things that are important to remember. But then, you know, there's lots of people in the room, so things, you know, other things come up, and you know, it goes off on its own,
yes,
own way as well.
Yeah. But you managed to pass all those things by, and you know, there's a lovely sense in the dream, and there's so many. Obviously, you know, our dreams are prime. Reason for our dreams are processing our experiences, but in order to get a handle on life. And so a lot of that is problem solving or trying to problem solve, although we all know that our dreams usually fail in that respect and we end up with unresolved dreams and unresolved endings.
I think previous meetings definitely sort of felt like there was a crocodile in the room, and this time it didn't.
Great, that's fantastic. Yeah, because you had the rock in your pocket.
Yeah.
So you're
and you know,
go on.
So I was going to say, you know, and I, you know, perhaps I'd sort of done this. You know, I was more practiced at talking. You know, I'd done a few of these by now, and I was a bit more confident in what I wanted to say and how I should say it.
Mm. And your dream did put you perhaps either just in touch with or more deeply in touch with the aspects of your deeper self that you needed to take through with you in that meeting?
Yes, and you know, I think I definitely felt like, you know, I'm on a path. I don't know. You know, this is the path of my, you know, my personal truth. That's how I felt. You know that, you know, I just have to be honest and true, and you know, this is who I am.
Yes,
you know, like it is my pilgrim's path, I suppose.
It is,
and then everything will be okay.
It is red knickers and bra and cardi as well.
Yeah,
and you know, and that
I think I'm going to get some and wear them.
I was going to say, you know, it would actually be a really good dream alchemy, wouldn't it?
They're my power undies.
Yeah, I think as well as the rock, you need the power undies. And then you can wear something else, and then the red cardi on top. Be perfect dream alchemy.
Yeah,
and
I
don't know, but I have a feeling that your hotel recurring dream may stop or may disappear, because I have a sense that the long corridors in the hotel, which relate to the long journeys that you've had since your son has born, may or may not be to do with his disability, I don't know, have been replaced in the dream by this real, although this has been something that's been going on for you for a while, it's as if the dream really anchors it in, as you said, this is my path. My path isn't the hotel corridors where I'm feeling that I can't find my room. I have found my room now. It's this long ancient path, and yes, sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's uphill, but it is my pilgrim's way, and I'm a fortunate person because I've now identified my spiritual path, I've identified my pilgrim's way, and I've identified what it is, which you so beautifully put there. It's about just being me and being totally me.
I mean, when you said that as well, I suddenly sort of was imagining this sort of the hotel corridor, you know, and I have to go through so many doors with my son, you know, this doctor's office, that doctor's office, this agency, this, you know, all the different people that are involved in our life, you know, they've all got a different office and a different door, you know, and a hospital corridor looks very, very similar to a hotel corridor, which I hadn't really connected before either.
And you stay overnight in hospitals like you stay overnight in hotels.
I hadn't really thought of that before.
So, you know, now that you've made that connection, Alexandra, too, there's a sense of when you're actually going to hospitals and or actually dealing with all these people and offices around your son, or when you just feel like that in life, or if you do have that hotel dream again, you can transplant yourself in your head and your heart and your soul into walking your ancient path. You know, I may physically be walking down this corridor banging on office doors, but in my heart, my mind's eye, I'm walking my ancient path here.
I am, you know, I feel like, yeah, it's a purpose. Being my son's mother is, you know, it is, it's a very, you know, I know obviously all mothers, you know, have a very important job to do, but it does have this sort of added aspect to it that does sort of, you know, it does have a sort of spiritual element
yes.
to it, because you're walking a very, very different path to other people.
Yes.
You know, and I'm very conscious of that.
Yes, and meeting different challenges and difficult challenges as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. if normally, as you know, we would suggest a dream alchemy for a dream, but a dream alchemy is usually suggested when a dream is stuck or unresolved, or you've identified a pattern that needs to be changed. And the only pattern that I see in your dream that needs to be maybe part of your pilgrim's challenge over a long period of time is perhaps not to always take responsibility for everything that goes on, to allow yourself to be refueled and re-energized in whatever
yeah.
form, to nourish yourself. But because the dream worked out so positively itself, you know, my sense would be more, and it's the line you're going down too, is to apply a dream alchemy that enhances the good stuff in the dream, that kind of lifts it up. So, you know, like you say, maybe in future meetings or situations, either actually wearing the red underwear or imagining yourself wearing it, or that sense of walking the corridors, but yeah, and walking the ancient paths, and working with this dream alchemy on whichever level, you know, as a visualization or as artwork or any sense or story writing.
For the last, I don't know how many months, several months, I've started doing a little journal, drawing my dreams, and I find that really, really helpful. It definitely feels like some sort of new avenue that's, I don't know what it's going to be. I know it's going to be something.
That's great.
And it, you know, it feels like a path. You know, this is something I've started now, and there's no getting off this.
Beautiful.
Now.
That's so lovely to hear. And I know we're sort of running out of time, but I have to ask, when you draw and paint and write in your journal, do you sometimes write the transformed version of a dream, like the dream alchemy version?
No.
Something to think about, so that, you know, after a dream like this, to then draw a picture or write out a version of the dream where you walk into the meeting wearing your red undies, or a version of the dream where the little rocks, the people at the door animates and says something. So that's the kind of
that's
alchemy
fantastic.
Side of it. Yeah, so feed that into your artwork.
Because I noticed that, you know, when you write the story of the dream, it's the story, but when you draw it, it suddenly goes, oh yes.
Yes.
That's what that was trying to tell me. But then in trying to, you know, you then got to do something about that, haven't you? You know,
that's right, yes.
It's okay having the understanding, but then what are you going to do with that?
That's
How are you
right.
going to transform that?
And traditional dream therapy in working with art, it takes it to that point of, I've discovered through the art more about my dream, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then the dream alchemy is taking it that extra step, as what do I do with this? And working with the symbols of the dream, and particularly in artwork, if that's your thing, then becomes a process of you talking to your unconscious mind by using the same language, the symbols that it brought up in the dream.
Yeah.
So by using them and working with them, perhaps as part of your own journal or in a different journal, you're actually transforming what needs to be transformed, or enhancing.
I've loved your dream
and talking with you. Is there anything else you'd like
Thank
to
you.
Say or ask about your dream before we wrap this one, because we've had such a lovely, long, luscious conversation?
Something I noticed that I really liked, there was where the sudden shift happened from like being in the hotel to leaving the hotel. That happened because I talked to somebody. I told somebody about the crocodile.
That's
and once
right.
I did that, I left.
Great.
You know, once I connected with those people who were the team.
Yes, you did.
Then I could leave.
Perfect observation. You're so totally right. So that whole theme of talking or not talking at the beginning of the dream of something needing to be said, and at the end of the dream trying to get in the jaw moving, you actually did it in the dream. You got the words out.
But yeah, I'm not on my own. I have a team, don't I?
Yeah,
when
that's
I have
right.
my team, I can walk my path.
That's right. And you picture your team there to refuel you as well.
Yeah.
As well as support you to refuel you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as you
no,
say,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and by talking with them, you're talking with the as yourself, not in, you know, you want at that stage you want to get the stupid spandex outfit as you
yeah.
said off. So
yes.
you're talking yes. to them as yourself. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing such an excellent
you.
Dream. I know that everybody out there has been listening to this is going to be, you know. We learn so much from listening to other people's dreams, not only about interpreting our dreams, but we apply stuff to our own lives as well. And I think a lot of people will have got that from listening to yours. I think there'll be a lot of people out there going,
nice.
It's time for me to walk my ancient path now to get on my pilgrim's way to pick up my rocks.
I hope so.
Thank you so much, Alexandra.
No, thank you, Jane.
Well, wasn't that just beautiful? And for me, it was quite interesting because we booked Alexandra as a guest on the Dream Show quite a while ago. In fact, before we just went over to England for a little holiday of our own. So as Alexandra was mentioning places there, and particularly the stones, she was really taking me back to some of the beautiful places we visited while we were there. And I don't know about you, but I actually love stones. I mean, if you walked around my house, you'd find there's lots of little pots and containers full of all kinds of rocks and stones from many eras of my life. And I even had a good friend round for lunch just a couple of days ago, and she came bearing a beautiful polished rock for me as well. So I do have that sense of loving that feeling of connection to the most ancient parts of the earth, and also, of course, the more symbolic connection to grounding and the ancient parts of ourselves. So I think what, you know, that picture that Alexandra painted there of being on her ancient pathway and her pilgrim's way, it's a beautiful metaphor that we can all take forward with us. And you know, just go out and collect a few extra rocks too and get in touch with all of that. It's a lovely way to get in touch with our most ancient being. So I hope you enjoyed that. I know that you would have done. And our next episode of The Dream Show, episode 198, will go live on the 8th of December 2017. Have a wonderful month before then, and I'll speak to you again in December. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.